It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy shit. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than Anthrax on a Baby.
What?
I stand by that. You can join chat room Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click the live broadcast. Also, watch us live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip.
Hey.
And Joe will be here soon on the show Comics in the News and comedian Hasan Minhaj. Getting blowback for lying during his stand-up performances. That was your blog. We'll give you a first crack at that. Not an easy topic.
No, it wasn't. But I immediately had a knee-jerk reaction, so I wrote it.
As well you should. Finally, something the three of us are somewhat qualified to pontificate on.
Somewhat.
As opposed to the other stuff we normally pontificate on. What is that? No, stop that. Come on now.
What did I do this time?
Not you.
Oh, okay.
All right. School of Fools and school snacks for birthday parties. What's appropriate? What's not appropriate?
I really like this topic.
Of course you do. It's snacks.
Yes. Yeah, what's not to like?
Snacks and birthdays. You love that.
Both.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Well, you know, I'm trying to come up with interesting topics, and I'm glad you approve.
I do.
And we're going to play a game. We may have played it once. I don't know when we played it, but Joe created a bumper for it, so therefore we must play it again.
You have to recycle those. You have to keep using them.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's how I found the Decoding the Bible one that we did.
Yeah.
You didn't do it, but Joe and I did it.
Right.
And this one's celebrity preacher or politician. So I have gotten some stories. And I will not tell you the names of the people in the stories.
Okay.
And you will keep score of this, of course.
Okay.
And you guys will have to guess if it's a celebrity, a preacher, or a politician. And I promise you, none of it is like rescued like kitties from a tree. It's nothing.
Why
like
not?
That. It's nothing. No, it's salacious and crime and stuff like that.
That's, ooh, I love that.
Of course, and so do they. And we'll do scamming scammers with Elon Musk and more scamming scammers with Kimberly. So, you know, we were off last week. I was judging. Oh, good. This just in. My scammer has promised not to talk to other men while I do this show.
But
so we can only hope. I trust her.
Well, I don't know if I do.
Why would she lie?
You're right. You're right. She's completely trustworthy.
You know, one of the most ridiculous things about the modern day scammer? That they think that we don't recognize the accent. Like, we don't hear an accent.
I know.
Time and time again. Well, yeah, it sounds a little African-y to me. No.
Oh,
I guess it's a part of Texas I'm not familiar with.
Right. Yeah, you sound Connecticut to me, sure.
Yeah. Oh, is that a Northeast accent? No. Northeast Nigeria.
There you go.
But they insist, and okay.
All right. I guess I can't believe my own ears.
Yeah. So I'm in one scammer, not this one, I've been trying to break up with for a while, and it's, I don't know, because, you know, when they stop talking to me,
yeah,
you know, when it goes days or like a week, I'm like, I don't really even want to use any brain power for this anymore.
Well, really, because they're like 1 foot out the door, or maybe two, so.
Right, and I can't remember what nonsense I've told them.
Oh, wow, so now you're starting to get into the older phase where you can't remember the lies.
Well, in my defense, I'm seeing so many at once.
I know.
I mean, and
poor.
And there's so many versions of me. Plus, Sybil would go, it's a little much.
There's a lady who calls herself and her alternates the Janus system. I think I'm saying that right.
Is your microphone on?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's just talking to it a little. Because I'm trying to keep it lower.
Should I eat the mic?
Yeah, eat the mic. Because I'm keeping it lower so that Joe sounds the same level as us. So we're lower.
Yeah. Well, if you put some caramel on this, I'd be right on top of it.
Okay. Anyway, there was this lady.
There's this lady that has alternates, what they used to call multiple personality disorder. Now they have dissociative personality disorder, I think. And so she has many multiples. And she has, I think it's a Instagram account, and she will go on and she will tell you which one of her personalities is up front at the moment. And
that doesn't seem like she really has an illness if she's telling you, because if you have an illness, you don't usually know who it is, right?
No, they can know. I mean, I'm no expert in this field, but
this
I've seen...
This doesn't sound right. This sounds like nonsense to me.
I can't tell.
I'm telling you, this is a bunch of crap right here. Oh, okay. Right now you're talking to Jennifer. Hold on. Eric has something he wants to say. Stop it. Stop it. That's not an illness. You're a catfish in a river.
What? A catfish in a river?
Yeah, like a catfish, like the MTV show.
Yeah.
You're just using an excuse. Fine, you know what? I have the same dissociative association, National Basketball Association, disorderly conduct, too. I got the same shit. I could tell you which fake Davin you're talking to, and which jobs I have at that moment. I mean, I wish I could tell you, but most of the time I can't. But that's essentially what I can say I'm doing. That's like, oh, you get a scammer and you're interviewing. Yeah, I'll tell you which profile I am right now. Stop it.
No, I can't say I agree.
Of course you can't, because you're familiar with mental illness, mm-hmm. and so you're naturally sympathetic to them. But I'm familiar with bullshit.
Oh, I think that there are some people that are just whiners more than being, like, you know, full of it, but or actually being mentally ill. But I'm not an expert. But I do think that there might be something to this, because it's usually born out of trauma.
Do they know all their login accounts, all their logins for the different personalities?
That I have no idea.
All right, I mean, let's ask the questions.
Can you imagine how many passwords a person with, like, 10 personalities has?
Actually, you could set up Instagram so you could just go from account to account.
Oh, well, I can't possibly keep up with my own... logins. You've seen it here.
Yes, I have, actually. And I'm traumatized by it.
And I'm one person. So
no,
can
I'm. I mean, just from what you're telling me of this, and I have no previous knowledge, I'm calling bullshit. Oh, I can tell you which wackadoodle I am right now. Then if you can tell me which wackadoodle, then just be the one wackadoodle. Don't be every wackadoodle.
I don't know that they have control over it.
You know what? I bet they hold down a job, too.
No, I don't think that she does.
Then who the hell's letting them on social media? To mingle with the general public? No.
What? There's no controlling people from getting on internet, obviously.
Well, there should be.
No, there's nothing keeping the
wackadoodles. So she was able to sit down for this documentary?
It's not a documentary. She has an Instagram account, and she'll often post about what's going on in her life and what's going on with her authors.
Oh, because you read it on her Instagram account, you take her word that this is all true. That's where we are now. So there's been no documentation of this. There's been no physician there. You're like, well, this is what she says about herself on Instagram, so I believe it. Well, I think there's two mentally ill people in this story.
No, I am skeptical.
You don't sound skeptical,
but I'm not ready to completely write it off as fantasy or outright
deception. What a lousy
deception.
Fantasy that would be.
I know.
I have multiple people on Instagram. Ooh, ugh. This is just an ugly shut-in. That's what this is.
It's just one account.
Is she using what she really looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it's not a well-kept person.
No, she actually looks like...
Then she's not using herself.
What do you mean?
She's probably swiped a picture from somewhere.
No, it's not a picture. It's she's live speaking to the camera.
She's live speaking to the
camera. Yeah.
And are thousands of people tuning in for this nonsense?
I actually did notice what her, like...
Well, maybe you should do that next time. Because I am... Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine until I had a SmackDown stupid over here.
what did she get out of line with now?
All right, briefly summarize it so Joe can take a club and beat you with the other
briefly
one.
Briefly summarize to Pip. All right, the first hour of the show.
Hold on, let me get the blah 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 theme music.
Yeah. God.
Briefly, in one sentence, summarize the nonsense.
There's a person on Instagram who claims to have dissociative disorder, and she has multiple personalities, and she goes on Instagram live and talks about how she's faring.
And she could tell you which personality you're talking to at the moment. And I am calling bullshit on this.
I don't know.
But Pip... you know, having been exposed to mental illness, and apparently it's contagious.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. It's like, no, no, this could be something.
It could be.
It can't be.
I do believe that disassociative
Give me the type of mental
disorder.
Illness that Joe has, undiagnosed. That's the type of mental illness I can wrap my hand around. I go, all right, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I can believe that. Don't give me, I know exactly what my crazy is on which day and which moment.
And in 2012, that mental illness was a co-host on the show.
Sure, Joe. Sure, Joe.
I brought that mental illness with me for about a year.
That yes. was your altar.
Don't worry, Joe. I look forward to 2030, when in 2023, that mental illness was a co-host on the show.
Yeah. Terrible.
Is it, though? But anyway, back to Pip.
I can't discount it.
Why can't you? Because you saw it on Instagram?
No, not because that's not the ultimate source. No, I mean, psychiatrists, not all of them agree, but psychiatrists who are known in their field have spoken about the possibility of dissociative disorder because people are so traumatized, they block off a part of their brain to cope
I'm not saying that's not a real thing.
Okay.
That, I'm not. No, no. I'm saying you're talking to Rebecca right now. Hold on. Jill has something to say. Oh, Peter just walked in the room. That's the part I'm calling bullshit on. Well, I'm calling bullshit on that on this person.
Well, when she explained it, she said that some of her alters are aware of the others, but some of them are not.
I'll tell you what. All of my alter egos are aware of each other. I just don't always remember them. And you know what? I have an Instagram page, too, where I carry out this bullshit, too. are we insane here? Pip is now telling me fake Davin is real. That's what Pip is telling me.
It's one of your alters.
All my alter egos know about each other. I mean, Dick Eldorado knows about General Bulldog McIvey. Ting yeah. Dong Wow knows a Bing Ping Chow He. So, yeah, you know.
Well, you should do an Instagram right. live. Pip will be riveted.
I know you don't believe it, but I think it's true.
No, I'm just saying she's not mentally ill. She's looking for rubes like you. I'm saying if the two people that are mentally ill in this conversation, the Instagram personality and you, it's you.
Well, you know, I think that if I want to believe it, it's completely harmless because I don't send her any Steam cards.
No, you can believe whatever you want, but just don't come to me and go, oh, no, this is real. Stop it. Stop it. That's like one day we come to the show and go, let me tell you all the real jobs that fake Davin has. So when I was a ghost and believing it, I go, oh, hold on. Mortician fake Davin walked in. Oh, hold on. Fluffer fake Davin. No, you can't talk to Mortician fake Davin because you're talking to Fluffer fake Davin right now and doing an Instagram live. And there you'd be like this. Go on. Stop it. Stop it.
I like to pose.
Of course.
With my head on my little hands.
Yes. That's for the visual. Go on.
Do you tell me more?
I mean, really, you should know better.
I
would you please call up her?
I'm not a baby seal.
I would just start starting shit by, you know, with the other personalities. You know, hey, you know what Kim said the other day? What did she say? Well, why don't you ask her and watch her fight with herself?
Yeah. Now, Joe, that's a damn good idea. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know her personally.
But you know the personalities.
No, I don't have them memorized or anything. I have like a fleeting association with watching this.
Is this why you can't get me your Instagram stories on time? Because you're watching this type of nonsense?
No, it's because I sleep all day on Sunday.
You know what? After hearing what you do while you're awake, you should sleep more.
I'm like a bear. I hibernate on Sunday.
And you requested Sundays. You had Saturday.
I know, and it's not working great. We'll have to talk about that.
There's nothing to talk about. It's 45 seconds out of your day. Out of the 8 minutes you're awake, do something.
You know what's part of the problem?
You're the whole part of the problem.
Yes, but you know what? And it's like, I don't like doing them in the first
Neither
place.
Neither do I.
Oh, what, the blog?
No, the Instagram. Shut up. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Instagram stories.
The Instagram stories.
Oh.
I don't like doing them. I didn't even want my face to be shown.
Nobody wants your face to be shown, but here we are. Nobody wants to see any of these faces.
So it's like, there I am, all by myself, you know, spouting
nonsense. Let me
tell you
something. If we lived closer to Joe's house, there would be no Zoom. If we weren't 2+ hours away, Joe would be here, and we wouldn't need the Zoom. And nobody would have to see any of this. which would be good, but it's not what our reality is.
Well, the Instagram plugs, it's like, I'm all alone. What do you think, we're in a stadium, the two of us? I have to get up, I got to make sure I remember to do, I'm running late for work. I got to go, oh, for Christ, and then go into the music room and do them. Then Instagram doesn't pick it up, so while I'm on the expressway, I got to make sure it picks it up. So it posts. Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Several cases, but out of the things that we do that I don't feel is necessary.
We know, Joe. I'm not doing that.
I'm not getting into it. I'm saying that this is necessary.
That I know. It's just one of the things.
It's all necessary. It's all necessary.
I am usually a hot mess on the weekend. Maybe I should do Monday. I at least have to crawl out of my cave and look human on Monday.
You got to talk to – please, you don't show up to work on Monday always.
Yeah, I do.
All right, well, talk to Joe. I will do whatever day you guys want, but Monday is Joe's day. If you want to switch with – that's a conversation you guys can have offline. I'm not married to any of it. It's fine. Actually, yeah, no, Joe doesn't do Monday. Joe does Tuesday.
Yeah.
I do Tuesday morning.
Yeah. He was supposed to do Monday, but he did Tuesday, so who am I to complain?
So I could do Monday.
But I'm already posting a blog on Monday. I need somebody to do something on Sunday.
Oh, God.
What do you want me to tell you?
All right.
This is not riveting conversation, so we're moving on.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, you and your mental illness.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot of time to talk about because there's a lot of it.
Fair. Well, at least this broad on Instagram categorizes it.
This is amorphous. I don't think I could categorize all of this.
No. So my daughter started her first job.
Oh.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Yeah, I was already firmly entrenched in the workforce 4 years by the time Sweetie got around to working. Yeah. So it's at a local apple orchard.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be from 9 to 5, and it's just on the weekends.
Okay.
But the first day was until around 6:15. Excuse me, what? No, don't shake your head, because I had to pick her up.
Oh.
And then I'm like, I'm here. And she's like, yeah, they're going to keep us late. And I had to get to work.
Why? Because the apples were ripening faster than
No, because it's busy time now, so they get a lot of people and, you know.
Right.
So she had to walk home because I had to go, because the wife was out of town and I had to go to work. It's only a 10-minute walk, but, yeah. You know, whatever. It's not the. But if it gets too late, you know, I get worried because it gets dark and there's no sidewalks.
And it gets
really pitch black up by you, so, yeah, you don't want to walk on the streets.
There's that one.
And stay worried.
If I'm thinking about the right place.
Yeah, the one around the corner.
Yeah, there's that one turn that it's like, I have trouble maneuvering that in the dark in my car. So I can't really.
That one turn, who designed that turn? Burt Reynolds? Holy cow, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right, as long as we're bringing this up. I mean, normally I would slap you down for stupidity, but you raise a point. The roads around here are so frigging stupid. Just let's go round and round and wrap around and build. Stop it. When you built this town, when you built this city on rock and roll, they had invented the straight line. Why can't we use that? Why do we have to? I hate driving around here. It's miserable. It's dark. It's foggy. Deer are like, hello, here I am. You know, it's just there's no street lights. There's no streetcars named Desire. It's miserable around here. So that by the time you get to that one turn that you guys are kvetching about, you're relieved because you had just been on a straightaway. Let me tell you something. The 6 miles getting to that straightaway, you're just going round and round, wrapping around. Then you go by the lake, which is nice during the day. And go, wow, these are nice houses. But, I mean, what are we doing? We couldn't do this straight. It's so fucking stupid around here.
It's really bizarre. Well, a lot of it is wrapping around mountains.
Go through the mountain.
Yeah.
You do that for a choo-choo train. They don't make choo-choos wrap around. They just go straight through.
Do you know how much blasting all that rock would be?
You do it once. You do it once. What is this? Let's make the. And this is still the nice weather. Forget it when it's snowing.
I know.
Then you go the long way. You go, you know what? I'm going to take the throughway. Enough with this nonsense.
Yeah, because that's not going to happen in the snow and ice.
No, I'm going to go past the old.
I used to like that drive. When you lived at the old place, I used to like that drive coming up. But, no, in bad weather, you do not want to be on that road.
No
you got to go the long way. You got to add 10 minutes to your drive. But, normally I'd slap you down. But, no, I've thought the same thing. The roads here are stupid. The people who designed them are stupid. I know it's on a mountain. I don't give a shit. Don't build houses on it.
Well, you know, but people want nice views.
Then build a straight line and you can have a fucking nice view along a straight road. Nobody goes, you know what? Give me hairpin turns with no street lights and fog. Nobody requests that.
I do.
You talk about a bad layout. You go to Boston. I mean, you go to New York City's a grid. Boston, they just put a road anywhere you want. We used to go up and we had Rock Cut. We leave the island late. Now we're in Boston. We've got to be on stage at 9 o'clock. It's 8:15. We're lost. The streets make no sense at all. It was maddening. Maddening.
Well, Joe, let's remember Rock Cut for what it was. A new TV credit for you.
Oh, yeah.
I recommend everybody with basic cable watch Dark Side of the 2000s on Vice TV, part two of The Shock Jock. Look quickly. You'll see our pal, a young Joe Curry, probably where he'll wind up one day in that costume. Joe has a new TV credit and headshot, if you ask me.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. I was happy to be in that because basically while the band was filming all those bits, I'm trying to get my house done. I'm trying to get everything ready for sale. So a lot of the bits that the band did, I really wasn't in them because I didn't have the time. So finally,
there you were.
Filmed, I got a chance to be in.
There you were, right behind Blackface. Out of all the bits to be in, you made that one. What a wonderful boon for your career.
Did you just say boon?
I said boon. I said boon, thank you.
Oh, God. I was like, bad timing.
Yeah, by you. Thank you. No. has your more famous pal seen that special?
Yeah, I think he has. He has. He's talked about it, you know, and he's goofed on it because he talked about the lookalikes that he had. That you know, okay. Like, yeah, they get these actors, they look alike, and they put them behind a faded lens.
Yeah,
and then they you know, yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that wasn't the part I would have taken away from the expose, but if that's what Ant wants to focus on, that's fine.
Or soft focus on.
Soft focus.
Would,
yeah, it's funny, because, you know, I used to like Opie and Anthony back in the day before I even met Joe when they were on Terrestrial in New York, which is not the beginning of their career, but perhaps the most popular time of their career before they got kicked off the air. And
that's when the big money was.
Yeah, and it's funny. I look back, like, because they go over what – it was this thing on Shock Jock, so they got Howard, they got O&A, they got Man Cow. And it's funny. At the time, I remember thinking I really enjoyed listening to them. But then when they go over some of the bits they did, what was I thinking? I don't know if it's age, I've matured, or the different times and the different sensibilities.
Well, what bits do you mean?
Well, I never would have liked them stomping on the homeless man's cake. At no point
that was Opie.
And Anthony was laughing.
But you know what? And Anthony mentioned it later, that was a dick move, and it was not any idea of Jimmy's or Ant's. It was Opie.
It doesn't matter. I know who did it.
Dick mode.
I know who did it, but they played the audio of Anthony laughing. It's not like Anthony called him on the carpet. It's not like tell me, did Anthony walk down and give this guy $1,000? He could have afforded it at the time. It was a dick move. I never would have laughed at that.
I think Opie threw the guy like $500. They gave him a decent amount after he did it. Not saying it was right. It was a dick move, but Anthony did throw him money. But Ant thought it was a dick move.
Like I said, maybe he did think it was a dick move. He was laughing on the air about it.
Wow.
I never would have liked that. Probably the stuff, it wasn't my favorite stuff, but the stuff with the teen girls on the bus, you know, that I probably laughed at or, you know, was riveted to instead of like the 55-gallon drum challenge. Now it's like, oh, my God, these could be my daughter's friends. No.
Well, now that you look at it now, the only thing I never liked back then I would tune out is all the vomit stuff. I couldn't handle that stuff.
Anthony's tirade after the incident that got him released, I was unaware of all the horrible things Anthony said. Because at the time, we were still friends with Anthony. Not that we're not friends. I just have nothing to do with Anthony. He has nothing to do with me. Just,
right.
But, like, I was more sympathetic to it. I was unaware of the tirade of tweets that he launched. I mean,
Let me get this straight. Some woman assaults you, and acts like an animal, and you're not supposed to comment on it? That's what.
You could comment about. First of all, if you're him, you shouldn't. That being said, no, you could comment more pointedly and directed at the one person who did it. I would certainly understand that. Again, I don't think I would do that, but he was obsessed with Twitter at the time. I remember he loved himself some Twitter at the time. But it was more broad strokes that was the issue. It was not pinpointed to the one person who allegedly assaulted him. I understand if he did get assaulted, why he would let a tirade off at that one person. I get that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the backstory is that SiriusXM was looking to cut down on money.
Well, they found a way.
SiriusXM was looking at a cut down money. If that didn't happen on 4th of July weekend, if that happened the night before he went on the air, nothing would have happened. But they let it stew. The suits over there wanted to look to cut costs.
That's fine. I'm talking about what he actually tweeted. I never liked that. I was unaware of some of the stuff Howard did. To Man Cow, like about Man Cow's dead father, which I wasn't really listening to Howard at the time, but now I look at it. I mean, before the show, I said to Pepe, I did not realize how bad these people were. It doesn't mean I wouldn't listen to them now.
Right, but it's like, well, I think that it was both things. It's like different times, maturity, and now we go, oh my God, that's really brutal.
With Howard, it's just interesting. Because Howard is quote unquote evolved for what that is. You can believe it or not believe
Howard,
it.
Howard has got this whole phony baloney woke thing going on.
So Joe doesn't believe
totally alienating his audience.
He's doing fine. He's doing fine.
He totally went Hollywood. He totally is a hypocrite.
Or he evolved. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it. Some people do believe it. I don't know the guy. I don't know. I mean, maybe his wife Beth made him a better person. Maybe he's evolved with time, or it's maybe, as Joe says, he's a complete phony. I don't know.
He's been through a lot of therapy.
He has been through a lot of therapy. So you could say it's genuine. I mean, because he did horrible things. Like, he did horrible things in Philadelphia when he had that funeral. I don't remember the shock jock's name. But
It was for DiBella.
Yeah, he had his ex-wife in studio, and like he's kissing her while she's on his lap and everything. Now that's not as horrible as talking about Man Cow's dead dad and like all that. I mean, the Man Cow stuff was brutal, and I was unaware of it because I wasn't tuned into that stuff.
Well, Howard tried that stuff with Anthony, and one morning Howard's on busting Anthony's balls, and he's like, "How about I bring your ex-wife on? How would you like that?" Anthony gets on his show first thing, goes, "How about I bring her to you? How about I actually bring her?"
Well, I was also unaware of this special, just how sordid the ex-wife was and what was brought into that relationship. And at least if you go by this this two-part special, how much it affected the O&A show. I had no idea about any of that. It was fascinating.
How it affected the Opie and Anthony show is basically when those guys were doing the show together. Aunt was with Jen, and Opie was with his girlfriend at the time. And then when Anthony got divorced, Anthony's lifestyle changed. There was the compound. It was, you know, this. And that wasn't Opie's lifestyle, so these guys didn't hang
out.
That's
not what the special was saying. The special was saying.
But you listen to the fucking special. The guy was actually there and had the front row seat.
Well, you were also very biased. I don't care. I'm just telling you what the special
said. I'm the guy
said.
That had a front row seat to it. So
yeah, you're also biased. You're also biased. I don't know. I don't care.
I'm not biased.
Of course you are. Yes, you are. He's one of your best friends.
I'm not biased. I'm telling you, I was there.
Well, according to this thing on Vice TV, and you can watch and think what you want. I don't care. Apparently, there was this young woman, and Anthony was bringing her around to the studio a lot. And Opie was not liking that. I don't know.
Oh, that was one of the problems between
them? That's what initially started the problems, to which, you know, I'm sure he did his lifestyle
to change. But their lifestyles were starting to change from what it was. And Opie was not, you know, it just didn't match the lifestyle that they had. Ant's been doing that shit since he was 16 years old. You know, so maybe me, it's just another day at the office for me. But, you know, for Opie and some people like his old friend Danny that used to hang out at the house when we did the shows, Danny, you know, felt alienated. But he did. That's the way answer always is, you know?
Well, I guess it was the first time.
You can't deal with it.
I guess that was the first time Opie was exposed to it. Like I said, a lot of stuff I was unaware of. Very, very interesting. And you couldn't be a shock jock now. First of all, I don't think it would play to a large audience. It would play because there are certainly a lot of shock jock ripoffs on internet radio.
Sure.
You know, Opie and Anthony ripoffs, old Howard Stern ripoffs, you know, just people that are negative about everything and just like to, you know, punch down. And those guys are plenty.
Well, back in the day, you know, when Ant built the studio in the house, you know, his whole thing was, I mean, it actually happened when he got let go. But why he had that studio is he wanted to get more into, out of the shock jock realm, because he used to tell me, he goes, I can't be 60 years old and doing the same stuff I'm doing at 35 or 40. How he goes, it's ridiculous, it's stupid. So I'm gearing myself to get out of that genre, you know.
So then wait a minute. So you just talked about how Anthony has evolved. And you just with Howard, you called him a phony baloney. He could have had the same revelation.
But Anthony is still real to his roots on that. He's not turning around like Howard did. Howard was criticizing Nikki Haley because Nikki Haley was in that theater and through X-ray lighting, whatever. Nikki Haley was fooling around, and Howard was telling us, you know, she's a piece of garbage. She's this. She's a lowlife. Blah blah. Howard Stern was the biggest piece of shit. And what a fucking hypocrite he is to even mention any of that. Oh, well, it's immoral. Who the fuck are you to talk? Well, Anthony would look at that and go, it's freaking funny. He wouldn't sit there and start preaching about it. It was Howard changed management about almost 10 years ago, and this woman, I forgot the woman's name, totally tried to make him, you know, soften him down, change the way the show was, you know, try to make Howard more Hollywood, and Howard went along with it.
It worked.
It worked.
It was a brilliant career move, because now he's known for interviews.
He is an alienated his core audience.
But he doesn't need that core audience. He opened himself up to millions of more people. It was a brilliant. You might not like it. You might feel like he sold out. But as far as a business decision, it worked out just fine. What's he work 3 days a week?
He does a great interview. But the thing about it is that there's a lot of stuff that he's very hypocritical about.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to change the way you present yourself, okay, or change it, and you see something like Nikki Haley, who are you to be the fucking morality?
Wait a second. I'm going to call you on the carpet.
Shit that you did.
I'm going to call you on the carpet. How can you bring Howard to task and support Donald Trump, who donated to Hillary Clinton and had his big fat head up the Democrats' ass all these years and was anti-gun and pro-choice, and now he's the opposite? Call Trump on the carpet. If we're gonna call hypocrites on the carpet for hypocrites, call Trump on the carpet.
All right, but politics is different.
Oh, stop it. A hypocrite's a hypocrite.
What do you mean stop it? You're talking about two different mediums.
I'm talking about hypocrites. I'm talking about people.
No.
They both did something for their advantage. That's what they did. They both looked at an opportunity and capitalized on it. So what either one truly believes, I could not tell you.
I get it with your obsession about Trump, all right?
I'm not obsessed at all.
Howard Stern, to say that about Nikki Haley is totally being hypocritical.
It's not Nikki Haley.
Oh, wait, can you just back up for a second and tell me what woman are we talking about? What was this scandal?
Lauren Boebert.
I'm sorry. Lauren Boebert.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, listen, they both – I'm gonna be the most cynical about it. Donald Trump and Howard Stern both made business decisions. That's why they did. And I won't tell you what either one of them believes, because I don't get really riled up by either one of them, despite what Joe thinks, because I know what they did. I saw what they did.
You do get riled up.
I'm not riled up at all, Joe.
And, you know, she'll tell you you're not. You're totally obsessed with it. You always have been.
Why would I be obsessed with a loser?
Look at you looking in wonder. You don't get it. I know you don't get it.
Joe.
But you're totally obsessed with Donald Trump. You always have been.
You can't even address the point. You can't even address the point. You're trying to deflect.
You're bringing up two different meetings.
No, I'm bringing up two people
You're bringing up politics.
I'm bringing up two New Yorkers that are huge in pop culture that, as they got older, did a complete 180 for their own personal benefit and financial gain, which got them legions of new fans and pissed off probably old fans. It and who actually, by the way, were friends with each other.
And there was like a career move for both of them.
Yes, it was a career move. That's what it was.
But they changed their opinions on stuff.
Or they didn't.
To do it.
Or they didn't.
Or they didn't and they're playing.
What? Or they maybe they were full of shit then and this is what they believe now. Or maybe this is what they believe then and they're full of shit now. I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know them.
I would not attest to the character of Howard Stern or Donald Trump.
No.
Because I don't trust people that change that much and have so much to gain by doing it.
Yeah.
That is why it is a valid comparison.
No, I thought it was a good comparison because people that, you know, they were once known for one thing and all of a sudden it's like, now I'm gonna espouse the other side. It's like, okay, well, I mean, it is fascinating psychologically, too, to figure out how did you make that sea change? How did you make that big corner?
Because
you know?
people are sheep. I don't know if they did make a sheep change. You know, most people aren't going to call them on the carpet for credibility. I don't think Howard is credible at anything. You know, other than being a fine entertainer. I don't think Donald Trump is credible at anything other than being a fine entertainer. I mean, that's really what it is. I think they're both very good at entertaining people, and which is fine. And they've made fortunes off of it. I got no problem with any of it. I'm just not holding either one of them up on a pedestal. I know it would make Joe's life a lot easier if I held Howard, who I guess is woke now or whatever the hell he's claiming to be. If I go, no, Howard's righteous and he saw the light. No. I look at them both the same way. Nah, they both made a business decision, and it seems to have worked out well for both of them. That's what it is.
Well, I would say, well, if that's the decision Howard made to get an audience, but he alienated the people that got him.
And he gained so many more people.
Don't even really listen to
the show anymore. Being on America's Got Talent and toning down was a brilliant stroke. A brilliant stroke. He opened himself up to a lot more people.
Well, look at what happened with Dennis Miller. He really turned around in his
not a good career decision.
But he turned around like he was really focused on one way, I thought, and then completely turned around and went to the other side.
You thought he was very liberal.
Thought he was very liberal, and then he
and then he wised up and saw the light. Yeah, no, he made the right move.
Here's the difference between Donald Trump, Howard Stern, and Dennis Miller. Mm. Two of the three of them are great entertainers. One of them is not. One of them was never a great entertainer.
No.
He was good on Weekend Update.
Yes.
He's been
very good on that.
His comedy specials were never very good.
No.
He was terrible on the NFL, on Monday Night Football.
Of course, I didn't see that.
He was terrible on Monday Night Football. His radio show obviously did not capture anybody's imagination. Mm. Whereas if you look at Howard Stern and Donald Trump, they constantly reinvent themselves and they constantly find an audience.
Yes.
So when they lose some, and they don't lose everyone.
Then
when
they get others.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they keep on getting bigger.
Bigger.
I mean, one is the king of all media and one became president of the United States.
I don't know. Would you say that, I mean, now more people might listen to him because of his good interviews. I'm talking about Howard, of course. But would you say he's bigger because people, when he was on terrestrial radio, everybody knew
who he was. He's bigger because now he's a viable talk show guest. He's bigger because of America's Got Talent.
True.
America's Got Talent was a stroke of genius for him.
That
opened him up to middle America.
Yeah.
You know.
And he wasn't vile like he was when he was younger.
No, he toned it.
Know?
No, he was
acerbic and
he was lovable. He's giving people hugs and everything. No, maybe that's the real Howard. Or maybe it's
who
not.
Who knows? Maybe
I
that
don't
was
know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just like maybe the real Donald Trump is a liberal, or maybe the real Donald Trump is this version of him. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I would never vouch for any of their personalities.
It's true.
I got to ask a question. Who thought Dennis Miller was going to be good on Monday Night Football?
Somebody who probably doesn't work in sports anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders defense is similar to the march of Sophocles. I mean, you know.
But Pip brought up somebody who completely changed. It just goes to show you the brilliance of Donald Trump, who I'm vastly obsessed with, and Howard Stern, that they can pull off such a change and still be so wildly popular, and perhaps probably more popular now than ever before.
Howard did, the subs on Sirius XM are not going up, and he alienated a lot of his audience, and I don't think he's bringing up any new audience.
He doesn't have to. He's getting paid.
Listen, I didn't... Bottom line, getting paid, you know, but a lot of his core audience, the people that got him there, alienated.
Well, you look at all the other shock jocks. Where are they? He's the one who survived. He's the wake. What are they on the internet? Ooh, okay, that's fun. I mean, you know, he's the only one who's still making huge buck. Who people still tune in. I mean, he did that interview with Bruce Springsteen. HBO picked it up. I mean, the guy is still relevant.
I will say this with his. A lot of people don't think he does a good interview. I think he does a phenomenal interview. I love his interviews. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if he do it. SiriusXM should spin just a channel off just to his interviews.
I think they do specials. I think like on holiday weekends and whatnot, they'll do stuff like on Sirius 101 stuff.
So then
like
I'm not going to take away. He's one of the best interviewers out there. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and
the guy's talented. Howard Stern and Donald Trump have certain talents. Doesn't mean I trust either one of them. But the problem is, one is purely entertainment, and one is trying to be leader of the free world. That's the like. I wouldn't vote for Howard Stern to be president of the United States.
No,
because he did run for office at one point. He ran for governor of New York, kind of sort of.
That was just a joke.
I understand that. But, I mean, Joe says I'm obsessed. Yeah, I don't like people who are wholly unqualified becoming leaders of the free world. You know, listen, say what you want about George W. Bush. He was qualified. Say what you want about I didn't say he did a good job.
Okay, thank you.
Now, you could say Ronald Reagan wasn't qualified, but he was governor of California. So that does make him qualified.
Yeah, I do believe that he was qualified.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with his principles. Yeah,
but you don't have to agree with the politics or the job they did.
No.
You could say somebody is qualified.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was never qualified. Howard Stern is not qualified.
Of course not.
Running your podcast or your internet, your radio show and that multimedia thing, and running businesses, which once again were found to be fraudulent today in court. He just got smacked down again in Trump. That does not make you qualified to be leader of the free world. I'm sorry. So if that makes me obsessed that dolts will vote for people who are not qualified to have a say all of our lives, fine, and so be it. And when a liberal who comes out of Oprah Winfrey is not, say she wants to run as a Democratic president.
Oh no,
she's not qualified.
Not at all.
She seems like a lovely person. She seems like a smart woman. I don't think that makes you qualified.
Listen, she thought Dr. Oz was a good guy.
You don't want to vice president Stedman? All right.
No, he would be first gentleman. He wouldn't be vice president.
Yes.
Stop it. I mean, come on now. He'd be the first gentleman, which is fine. But what has she done to be qualified for that? America's conscious? Okay, there's more to it than that.
No, I mean.
Or conscience, not conscious. It's questionable whether we're conscious half the time.
No, I mean, just because she gave people cars doesn't mean that.
Which they had to pay the taxes for and they couldn't afford. So she's not good with finances.
No. But I mean, like. You know, I have a big idea. You didn't think through all the granular level stuff.
I don't know if she came up with that
idea. I don't know. Somebody on her staff did. But the thing is that, you know, we're using her as an example. It's like, just because you are good at one thing does not mean that those skills translate to government.
And,
you know?
I think calling out how stupid it is to think that somebody who's not qualified could do good at that job. I don't think that makes me obsessed. It makes me true to who I am. I call out stupid no matter where it is, no matter what side of the aisle. It could be. It would fit Joe's narrative if I said, no, harumph. Howard Stern's a great guy. He helps kitties and puppies. And you know, the guy's finally sensitive to the minorities and homosexuals. The guy's seen the light. No, I don't know what the guy believes. He was a horrible human being for a long time, which is what I said. I said to you before the show, and I said again, I go, I did not realize how horrible he was.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard anything you said since you said kitties and puppies.
Right. Right. Like, if I wasn't, if I was Joe's stereotype to fit into the little category, I would be standing, no, Howard's good, and here's the problem with Anthony, here's the problem with him. No, I don't know what this guy believes. I don't know Howard Stern. I've never hung out with Howard Stern. Good businessman. Good entertainer, I'll tell you that. Everything else, up for grabs. You ask the people who work with him, but they have their opinions based on their experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are not very positive.
No, they're not.
You know, you ask Jackie the Joke Man and Robin Quivers, you're going to get two different opinions.
You certainly are. Yeah.
And you're going to get people that work with him intimately for a long period of time that have two very different opinions. So who am I to tell you?
Like Sal the stockbroker, you know, I see Sal from time to time, and he always, you know, he's still with the show, and he still has a very good relationship with it. You know, he's doing very well. He's been on the show for a while. So, you know, him and Richard Christie. So, yeah, you know, those guys would have a favorable opinion.
And then you have Gorilla, who is his, like, intern, and he wanted to get paid. And, like, you know, according to Gorilla, I think that was Gorilla, whatever his name was.
Gorilla,
yeah. Howard wouldn't come to bat for him, so he's bitter about it. You know, if that's true, shame on Howard. You know, Howard's making money hand over fist. But again, I don't know if it's true or not true.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, and going back to Trump, you have all these stories of him stiffing people. Only difference is they went to court. So maybe Gorilla needs to go to court, although I don't know who he'd be suing. I mean, Howard doesn't have to stick up for him to get what he deserves, but it'd be the mensch-like thing to do. And it seems like Howard wants to be a mensch now, which is a decent human being in Yiddish.
Right.
But, you know, there were certainly times when he was not a good dude.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the one of the fascinating things about these kinds of people are that they are like an onion. You know, there's different layers to these people. And I mean, it's a difference between, I don't know how much of it is a facade that they put on for, you know, business or entertainment, or it's just that they have a lot of different sides to themselves.
You can tell how people are when the camera's not on them, and you don't really always hear great things about either one of them, Trump and Stern, when the camera is not on them.
Sure.
Now as far as Anthony, I can tell, and I tell people, I tell Joe's fun time. You know, Anthony's very nice because he was very nice to me.
He was very nice to me too.
He's a very good guy.
It doesn't mean he didn't do despicable things. But I can only tell you because, you know, fun time, you know, was nervous. I can only tell you, you got nothing to be nervous about. You know, Anthony was always very nice to me. That's all I could tell you.
Yes.
You want to know something? With everything between, you know, Anthony and Opie and stuff like that, I really can't say anything bad about Opie, for the simple reason is Opie was always very good to me. So I, you know, so when it gets into the fray, I mean, I'll circle the wagons.
No, you're not biased. You don't circle a wagon. You're that wagon train is going right through that windy mountain.
No, I'll see, you know, the circle of wagon. But, you know, when people go, what do you think of Opie? Opie's, you know, it's whatever went on with Opie and the guys on the show, but Opie has always been very nice with me, very gracious. So I can't, I really can't slam the guy. You know, I mean, whatever went on between him and Ann and him and the other guys on the show, I mean, it was shit that he would pull. Doesn't concern me, but, you know, but my relationship with him, he's always been very good to me, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the thing, is that you know, you hear different pieces, and everybody is biased in their own way. You hear different pieces of somebody's personality from all the different stories that everybody can tell around them. But I don't think that it necessarily negates the fact that all those things can be true in and of themselves, you know?
They should go on Instagram with all the different versions of their personality.
Maybe they do.
Miracle.
You know, I mean, look at John Lennon, for example. There are people in the world that love him and think, oh, so wonderful and everything. And then there are people that had really bad experiences with him, that, you know, he could be cruel sometimes. He could be sarcastic, and he could also be really kind to people and be thoughtful. So, I mean, there were a lot of different parts. And yes, there was, as he matured, there are some ways in which he did evolve, at least the public perception of him and the way that he presented himself to the public. But that doesn't mean that they're not all parts of the same complicated person. And I could say the same thing about both Howard and Donald Trump.
I will say it makes you a lot less complicated if you just go by my life philosophy. Don't be a dick.
I mean, seriously. I know it's, oh, they're so complicated and complex. Yeah, don't be a dick. It's much more simple. If you just treat people nice, with respect, whether on the air or not on the air, whether you're where people are seeing or not people are seeing, I know it's not as exciting. You know, we don't get the A&E retrospective about it. But you know what? That was a good person. Always, you know, didn't always do the right thing, maybe, but always try. Always
try.
Try to do the right thing. It didn't always work out. You know, in retrospect, made some bad decisions, but the heart was in the right place.
You know, but that's what I prefer. I'm saying I'm explaining them,
the three people who we were just discussing, you can't say their heart was always in the right place.
No.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. But that's how most of us are, I guess.
You know,
that's how some of us are.
Well, you know what? I think that every person, even though their heart is mostly in the right place, I think that people have moments where they disappoint themselves and everybody around them. You know, I mean,
I think people are also motivated by money.
Also, we're flawed. Anthony will even say some of the stunts that they did on the show. You know, Ant would say, you know, we would do the 55-gallon challenge and this, that, and the other thing. And he goes, you know, sometimes I'd be heading home back to the island going, I'm the biggest piece of shit. I can't believe we did that. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, you're
see, and that would have made him much more interesting. Although I remember listening to that stuff, and I was riveted to the radio, too. I was in my, I guess, 20s, late teens, early 20s. But that would have made him a much more interesting figure, especially during that time. If the next day he goes, you know what? On the air, go, I know we had a goof and all. I don't ever want to do that again. But he didn't ever do that. And I get that. The money's being thrown at you to be this guy, yeah, which is probably Anthony up to 11.
Look at it this way. Like I said, you know, Ant is Ant, and he'll always be Ant. When he started Compound Media, when he started his show, you know, the way the show was going to be done, it was going to be kind of like the ONA show. It was going to be, and there was some bits on there, but we were going to do, you know, sketch. I was coming on as a writer and this, that, and the other with a couple other people. And when the show got rolling, it took a different turn. You know, more political, more, you know, this, more guest related. So it did, you know, it did take a change from that. So it is an evolvement, but he never lost his roots. But he did want to evolve.
Hmm. Hmm. Well, you know, that is an important part of any entertainer artist's life.
So then, why can you say that Anthony evolved, but you can't give Howard that same credit? Howard's a
because of the simple reason, on a topic where, you know, Ant never takes this whole high holier than thou route, where he still has his roots on a topic where Howard is like, well, what this woman did is wrong and it's horrible.
Well, they just evolved differently.
Who are you to talk?
I think they just evolved differently. Listen, I think all three of them, I don't know how much any of the three of them really evolved or devolved. I think they all made a business decision. I think Anthony was right. I can't be 60 years old stuffing 18-year-olds.
No, he knew it, and this was in the heyday of ONA. That's why he built the studio at the house.
Yeah, he knows that stuff's better done at home.
He wanted to start doing something a little different than what he was doing on, you know,
right,
on
so he evolved.
NW or K-Rock. And that's why that studio was down there. And it turned out when he got let go, that studio was down there. And that, you know, and that was sort of Compound Media. So it worked out for the better.
He evolved.
But he didn't alienate his audience.
No, he's alienated a lot of audience with the political stuff. There was people that didn't want to hear the politics and didn't want the right-wing stuff. He alienated people. He made a choice. That's fine. He's doing fine, too.
But whenever you make a choice, yes. I'm sorry to interrupt, whenever you make a choice, there are going to be some people that are not like it. They want you to stay in the little box. Or some people don't like you.
See,
and
every,
you change.
See every band that did a concept album.
Yes, every band that changed their original sound,
yeah,
and changed up a little bit. I mean, there are going to be people who are like, oh, I like the first album, and I don't like this different stuff.
Ask how many Kiss fans are big fans of the album Music from the Elder. Not a lot, because it was completely different. People don't like different, but the artist goes, I want to try something different, and sometimes it works. And sometimes it doesn't work.
There's a few people that could, you know, like Bowie. Bowie could reinvent himself. He spent his whole career reinventing himself.
Well, now he's a zombie. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, but, you know, it was stages of that career that was pretty cool. There were stages that were awful.
Prince is one of those guys.
You know, but he was always changing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's look at Stern. and Kumia and Trump and the Ray of Light. They are artists that have evolved. Whether you like how they evolved or did not evolve, they are artists that evolve. Because all three of them, really, what they're best at? Entertaining them. And what, maybe they don't entertain you in the way that they used to entertain you and you don't like them. Or maybe now they're entertaining you in a way that you, when you didn't like it before. That's okay. They made choices. It's fine.
Maybe they were punk rock and they went alt country. I mean, you can go, oh, thank God, this is so much better. Or you can go, oh, look. But, that's the artists or the entertainers' purview.
They all evolved or didn't evolve or made business decisions. All three of them. Not so different. I just don't get worked up over about it because I'm not looking for my quote-unquote celebrities to be my guiding light.
But, I mean, in one way, and I know that you're not like, you don't really bow to the cult of personality. But I'm saying
great tune. I do bow to that song. Amazingly enough, when that song by Living Color comes on, I immediately get to my knees and go, I'm not worthy.
Well, you know what? I got to hug that guy. I bow to the song.
The guy. There's a whole band.
Nice.
I know, I heard. Anyway, go on. Your point.
But anyway. So
what band was that?
In Living Color.
Oh, yeah. No, I met Corey Glover. Really good guy. We actually opened for him. Yeah. 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Same. I went to see him perform, and afterwards, he was like, talking to him, and he insisted on hugging me. I was like, wow, what a nice guy.
He's a good guy, man. He really was.
But, you know, my point being that, you know, even though you don't particularly, there are some people who are like, oh, my God, the sun rises and sets.
What,
and
you mean like Taylor Swift and Kelsey the tight end from the Chiefs? Oh, my God, did you see her? She was in the box. He scored a touchdown. She was cheering. I couldn't believe it. Oh, wow. You mean like those people?
Oh, I think I just had a stroke. What happened?
Never mind.
But, no, those kind of people that are just like, and you can't say anything wrong about their hero because they can't stand the change or anything that is outside.
Because they're adults.
Well, you know what? But that's how the human mind works.
Because humans are stupid. Not everybody can evolve like me. I know. It's a problem. It's a burden.
No, humans.
All right. You're not the be-all, end-all.
I'm pretty damn close. Black. I'm pretty. It's taken a lot of evolution to get here.
Your religion in your own mind.
And other people's minds, too. Those who listen. I'm consistent.
All two of them. Yep.
Okay. You're both listening. As long as you agree.
There's a. No, you know, there are. Sorry, derailed for a second. I know, it happens all the time. But, I mean, there are some people that cannot stand anything, any incongruity with what they've built up their person to be versus what that person actually is, and that just, like, breaks them. But, I mean, most people...
Call them cult steer.
Yeah, well, yes. But also there are people that just can't see that you can have other sides to your personality or that it's a persona they're playing. They don't get it. It's like the people who walk up to people on soap operas and go, you're a bastard. And it's like, I'm just an actor playing the bastard.
Yeah,
you know?
Same thing like
that. Don't hit me.
Same thing with like wrestling fans back in the day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and the wrestlers actually lived the gimmick. But yeah, people thought the shit was real and they would threaten these guys with guns and try to kill them because they went after their favorite good guy.
They were so into
because it. People are stupid.
I know.
I mean, I was a wrestling fan. I always liked the heels, but I never saw, you know, when I get, if I get alone with that Hulk Hogan, I'm going to tell him a thing or two. I'll get a steel chair. No, I never did that because even as a child, I wasn't that stupid.
Oh, and even before it evolved into the WWF and then WWE, I used to watch all that stuff in the late 70s and early 80s with the, you know, Haystack Calhoun and all those guys are watching it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I worked with somebody who believed that it was real. And when I was like, do you really think it's real? He just looked at me like I had said Jesus Christ was just like a regular Joe. He was like, no, it's real. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's absolutely real. My God, that's frightening. Seeing somebody that's just such a true believer.
Because people need to believe in something.
Yeah.
They need to believe in someone.
Mm-hmm.
And they put all their faith in this. And they invest themselves in this. We saw it to a degree with Obama, some on the left.
Yes.
And we certainly have seen it with my obsession, Donald Trump. I mean,
thank you for admitting it finally.
He's your obsession.
He is my
Who
obsession.
Do you want him to be?
Whoever the fuck he wants to be, I don't care. prisoner number 3692K43.
That's who you want him to be.
That's the way it's looking. But they invest in this stuff.
Yeah.
And they have to believe it and they have to defend it. Because to learn otherwise would be to shatter them.
I would think it's for people that don't have anything else in their life going for them, maybe except maybe
no.
a job or maybe a family. I mean, look at us. We got all of those things going for us.
No.
Occupied where we don't, you know.
I can't believe, we'll go to your boyfriend here. I can't believe that every Trumpster that still is in denial about everything has nothing going for them. No, these are people that lead full lives. They're the pillars of their community. You know, their parents, their husbands, their wives, their grandma. They're not everybody's adult. They've just invested themselves emotionally for whatever reason because something in their life was missing. I don't know what it was, but something was missing that they had to put all their faith in something else.
That's a good point. I mean, I do think that people are very much like dogs in that we're pack animals.
Yes.
We want to belong to a community.
Absolutely.
And it's like that necessitates us versus them, the other pack.
Sports teams do it all the time. Yeah. They're all against us. Nobody believes us. You hear what they're saying in the media? The fans want us to lose. I mean, Dak Prescott, they just had an upset. He's the quarterback of the Cowboys. You know, he just gave a nonsense post-game interview along those lines because they lost the game they weren't supposed to. Well, you know, you, the media, built us up, and you, the media, wanted us to lose. Don't blame us because you guys shit the bed. you guys sucked.
Some guys got to rely. I mean, what do you think? ABC was on the sidelines calling the plays? You know?
But really? But it's to Pip's point. They need that pack mentality.
Essentially, it is, for better or for worse, it are people that are disillusioned on how government has been working for them. Donald Trump, in their mind, is somebody that would be working for them. Got behind him, liked the job he did for 4 years, feel that the election was stolen. In some instances, it does look fishy. That'll remain to be seen in history. But they feel that this guy is the only person that's looking out for them because nobody else is.
Because they're stupid, because they don't look at all the fraud cases. That's the thing. He lost another one today in court, another fraud case. That's why they're stupid. Because when you're presented with things, that's when you become stupid. I got no problem with people believing in stuff. But when you are presented with example after example after example, at some point you go, you know, you're just kind of dumb. And that's okay. I mean, you get to breathe the same air. But I just don't have to value your opinion. That's okay. I mean, it's fine to believe in something if you must until you've been shown otherwise. Listen, if I want to believe Joe Biden is the most coordinated president we've ever had, I can believe that. Now, if you show me clip after clip of him falling down, I go, nuh-uh, deep fake. No, that's not true. He's a goddamn gymnast. Well, then you know what? Then I'm fucking stupid.
He's a fucking gymnast.
Yeah, I mean, really. But that's what we're talking about.
Right.
You
right.
show me evidence after, no, so, no, Joe put the marbles on the stairs of Air Force One. That's why
do your own material.
I don't feel like it. I'm evolving to yours.
Well, that is the dark side.
Once again, you're wising up. All
yes,
right, good.
There you go. There you go. You want to recount that spam joke we heard pre-show, please?
That is the dark side of that cult of personality, that adhering to your team, my country, right or wrong, no matter what you're presented with to the contrary, just know I'm going to, that's my North Star. I'm going for it and believing in it.
These are empty vessels. Those people are empty vessels. And that's fine.
And you know what I want? You know what I want? You know what I'm noticing?
What are you noticing? Hair in your ears?
What I'm noticing is the people that really are for free speech are really not.
Expound.
I've had three instances of people reclaim during a show
Do
or sell their merch that are for free speech that are absolutely so not for free speech.
A lot of people are for free speech until it's shit they don't like. That's nothing new.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but still, it's a very prominent thing.
Well, but again, free speech is only, if we're talking about constitutionally, it's only if the government comes down after you. I mean, like if I'm having you on my show It's not a free speech issue if I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it on my show. Now, that's not the way I do things, but that's the way plenty of people do things. It's not like they're taking my free speech. No, they're saying you can't do it in my house, which is fine. It's my time, my house. I have that right if I wanted to do that. Again, I don't do that, but it's not a free speech issue. Most people don't really know what free speech is. People just want speech that they agree with.
True. They want the echo chamber.
Yes.
But the other thing is that people don't actually – I mean, free speech is a nuanced idea that people are just like, oh, that means I can say whatever I want. No. No, it does not.
Well, you can, but there's going to be consequences.
There's consequences, and there are certain things that are prohibited speech.
Yeah.
And there are good reasons for those things. Now, sometimes culturally we fight amongst ourselves about what should be prohibited and what should be allowed, but I'm talking
about – we got one of those topics coming up.
No, I do. And, you know, you can't – you fire in a theater. I know that's a cliche.
I think you actually can. I think actually you can.
No, only if it's
on a
screen.
If there is actually fire in a theater, you have to. Everybody burn it.
What happens if I had one of those cinnamon fireball candies? I mean, technically I'm not lying. I mean, sure, it's in my mouth, but my mouth is in the theater.
Mumble it.
There you go. What, officer? It's true. Look at my tongue. It's bright red.
Oh,
as he's pulled into custody.
Exactly.
And you're doing the perp walk with your stupid tongue, red tongue hanging out.
You haven't heard the last of me. I'm speaking for me and all the Willy Wonkas.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's so weird when I have people, I see people. I have gone down the YouTube rabbit hole one too many times. Ugh. Watching dumb people. And, you know, when
why would you just have to look out the window?
I know. I just have to walk around.
Sure.
And presented with lots of them. But I mean, like, they'll be saying things like, "It's free speech. I can do and say whatever I want." No, it's a free country.
How come that doesn't mean
you get to do everything.
How come all these people that proclaim free speech never choose to shut the fuck up? Yeah, because that's speech, too. Saying nothing technically is speech.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, it is speech. So all these free speech, how about you shut the fuck up? That would be nice, too. I don't need to hear you yammering about shit you don't know about. That's my job. That's
our show's job.
That's why I'm trying to pick stories that we might have a clue about, if you've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I know when we're out of our depth.
Yeah, because that engineering story was really difficult for me.
It most certainly was. I mean, so who, quickly, because then I got to finish this story about my daughter, and then we're going to take a break. Who has tried to silence young Joseph T. Curry?
I'm not going to get into it.
All that? Oh, are you for real?
Oh, you dangled the carrot.
Oh,
you won't
stop
give us a
it.
Payoff.
You don't have to name names.
I'll tell you off here. I'm not going to get into
carrot dangler.
Pussy. Joey's evolved into a pussy.
You know what? I'll have to take the hit, but I've been doing stand-up 23 years, and I never was so – coming home, I never was so fucking living in all my life. But
you've said that before, though. We've had you feuding with open micers countless times.
I'd rather not get into it. I'll tell you off here.
Wait a second. We know Joe very well. Never as livid in his whole life. Now that – is inferno level.
That's a lie.
Live it at a show.
Again, okay. That's a lie because I've seen it recently. I mean, it ended with a happy ending, I'm sure. But, I mean, I've seen
really? Do tell.
I think I just did.
You got a point.
Yeah, I know I do. Yeah, I know you like to – come hard at me, but remember, you can't come as hard as me because I know how hard you get. So you can't do that.
This is so homoerotic right now. I can't stand it.
Unfortunately, this is. I got to work the room. This is a story I'll tell you in the car.
I guess it happened down at a place with a gangster motif. That's what I'm guessing.
That's what.
And Joe will tell me later.
But, different place.
Oh, okay.
Place.
Well, there's only two places he works.
True.
Well, unless I take him with me, there's two essential places he works.
Two essential places.
Well, I mean, his weekends are filled with a couple of places, unless he's with me, for the most part. Mm-hmm. For the most part. Okay. But anyway,
he's
so
a regular.
But we've seen Joe livid before about somebody being upset with what he said on stage.
Yeah.
So I'm having a hard time believing this was the most egregious. I mean, he had like a Facebook war with some open micer not too long ago, like a few years ago, from Long Island open micer. some female. I don't remember who it was.
I miss this.
Everybody in Long Island hates her. I've heard it all before.
Well, on that one, that was another one that said free speech. This is a free speech zone. Anything is. But when I started to do a joke that she didn't go along with, yeah, then she got belligerent and tried to take the mic from me. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So my point is, we've been here before. I mean, so for you to say this is the most livid, I mean, stop. I've seen you make a spectacle of yourself in a theater lobby. Stop.
Wait, the Joe Livid meter is pretty high.
Now, you know what? It always starts at 10. How about that?
It starts at 10. But this one goes to 11.
Yeah, right.
I got to call bullshit on you? Yeah, all right.
Exactly. I've never been so livid, except for the last time when I was this livid.
No, it does.
Please. I mean, you're always livid at some open micer who's giving you a what for.
He seen me wake up livid. It was the time when we were sharing the room. I hit my head, and I wailed my head on the headboard, and he goes, "You haven't been up 10 seconds, and you're pissed off."
It's true.
They hit my head like, God damn it all. You haven't even been awake 10 seconds.
Good morning, Sunshine.
Literally, 10 fucking seconds.
I know. That's your record?
That's just God telling Joe where he stands.
I love that story because I can so picture it. God damn it. Oh, wow.
You're all my children, but you're the one I don't like.
You're the one I love to punish.
Yeah. Nobody else gets smacked in the head to start the day. Most people start with two scoops. Joe Schatz starts with two bumps on his head. I've never been so livid. Please, we have archives of this show. Stop it. Stop it.
I'd say bullshit there, but we actually have archives of that. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Years of clips.
There's been many an open micer who's insulted your good name, sir.
I'm just letting you know, I'm redecorating the barrel while I'm in here. I'm going to make a couple of move around the furniture a little bit. Yeah. So.
Don't worry. Don't you have people for that now?
staff.
Everybody should have staff.
Staff.
Everybody should have somebody.
Staff.
Everybody should have somebody on staff. That's what I always say.
Yes.
It's always been my dream to have somebody on staff.
On staff.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
At all times.
Yeah. Right. 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 Don't fucking come at the king. Do not come at the king.
Again, very homoerotic.
No, it's don't come with the king.
Oh,
well, I guess
okay.
Yeah, or don't come on the king.
I don't
know if you could come at somebody. I guess it would have to be like, you know, shotgun, dodging jizz. I guess that could be dangerous. Then I could slip and break an ankle.
I stand by my statement.
Nobody wants to be rushed to the ER because you slipped on jizz. I mean, that's just.
I'd have to explain it.
Right. I mean, because jizz by nature is sticky. So there had to be an inordinate amount, and you must have had shoes with absolutely no traction.
None.
To slip on jizz.
Flip flops.
Yeah. Flip flops.
Flip flops and jizz.
We were learning a lot in this segment.
That's the name
flip
of the segment.
Flip flops and jizz. Good name of a punk band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a duet. Oh, my God.
All right. Let me finish this story.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible segue.
Oh, my God.
To your daughter's
but
job.
He thought he was going to come at me and get away clean. It's like he hasn't been here for 11 years.
Me?
Yeah, you!
Don't worry.
I'm not worried
at all.
Don't
worry about it. I'm fine.
I would hope so. It's just words, stupid. I would hope you're okay. You don't got to worry about me. I don't got a key to your place. You're fine.
We can't reach you with the sticks and stones.
I'm not breaking in past the lighthouse. You got nothing to worry about as far as I'm concerned. You're good.
I'm coming in the window.
Yeah, sure. I know where all the safe spaces are. You're good. And now I'll continue. Mm. Now that he's been sassed.
Have you been
sassed? And remember, this segment started with ganging up on you.
Yeah, I know.
He should have stayed on my good side.
I know.
I mean, Pip was in
the way. I'm not comfortable as sitting on your good side.
I know. I know.
It only takes a while. Like, oh, I had enough.
I gotta shake
this up.
It's like
sitting there eating liver. You know, you take a couple of bites, and after that, like, really enough of this shit.
Yeah, but both are good for you. A lot of iron.
Tell us the rest of the story about your daughter's job.
Yes, all right. My eyes.
How did we get from
I don't know.
I don't
know. I don't know.
Where this show goes.
Well, because the next segment we can't. So we're getting it out of our system
we're
now.
Just like the roads up here. We meander around. We can't
How the hell
straight.
Did we even get here?
I don't
that
know.
That we started there.
I don't know.
It's I don't know either.
Mountain
He'll
roads.
I don't know.
So, oh, Christ. I got to get my notes. It's been so long. I almost dropped everything.
Oh, my God.
Even my notes have had enough of this shit. Trying to escape. It can't escape from me. I'm still too coordinated for that. Anyway, so it's about – so back to my daughter. So here's the thing. So she's working from 9 to 6, 6:15. No designated breaks.
No.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wait.
So they tell her, oh, yeah, just grab 15 minutes when you can. Well, this is busy season. I mean, wait, why do we have supervisors if you're not telling the kids, and she's still a kid?
Yes.
And she's not the only one. I think they have people as young as 14 working there. If you're not saying, all right, you go on break now. This is why you have one of the reasons why you have supervisors, to make sure everything is covered and people can take a half an hour for lunch, and there's no place for them to sit. There's no designated. So you just find a place to what? Stand there?
How are they supposed to, like, do bathroom breaks or anything?
And this is her
squat behind a tray?
Her first day on the job.
No.
So she's essentially worked 9 hours straight, which is against the law, mm-hmm. with no breaks and really no sitting.
Nope.
I said, I'm going to go down there and talk to them. She didn't want that.
Well, you know, it is against labor laws.
I don't know if it's different on farms. I don't, because there are farm laws.
There are different agricultural.
I think there are farm laws. But what is she actually doing there?
Well, she's a cashier. And, you know, I think she does dishes there, too. I mean, it's probably a lot of everything.
Right.
Well, so
right.
Then she wouldn't necessarily be considered an agricultural worker. She's not actually like.
Well, she's not harvesting the apples.
That would be the agricultural worker. So it's more like she works.
No, that's white people from the suburbs, dear.
Yeah, I know, but she more like works retail or restaurant.
My daughter is a white person from the suburbs. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess maybe one day she'll be harvesting the apples.
But the thing is that there's still labor laws, and you're supposed to have a reasonable amount of break time.
Yeah. Well, I was livid.
Yeah.
And so is her mother.
Yeah, it should be.
Wait, how old is she right now?
She's 16.
Yeah, no.
What do you do? And she's not the only one there. And apparently all the orchards are run like this. You know, I mean, I understand why she didn't want her father coming down there to raise hell. But I think somebody needs to come down there and raise hell.
Well, I don't know if you necessarily have to raise hell, but you have to ask the questions.
Yes.
You know, why aren't there break times?
I deserve to be lied to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I usually do it, but I'll let them take a crack at it.
So then she works the next day like 9 to 5:30, and she found herself – she went to the bathroom for 15 minutes. All right. My daughter should not be hiding out in the bathroom like she's Anne Frank in an attic for a damn break. What are we doing here?
Yeah. No. No.
So they only work Saturday and Sunday. They don't need – you don't know when you're working, I guess, until the day before, which is ridiculous. And they don't even work every weekend. So my daughter didn't even get called into work this weekend. What are we – because it's seasonal work. There's only like 6 weeks, 8 weeks of this.
So this is really haphazard.
Right. So like why does she – this isn't even really a job. She could have been working someplace else where she could be getting steady hours. And she hasn't gotten paid yet. Like, I don't even know when she gets paid. So she worked a couple weeks ago. She wasn't there this past weekend. Is she going to get paid this coming weekend? But she already said she can't work this Sunday. She put that in when she applied for the job because she has a concert. I mean, what are we doing?
This is really strange. I mean, but this is so endemic in our society, because the workers, the ones who are easy to exploit, like young people, people who are you know, people of color, minorities, you know, they're so easy to exploit. And then if nobody says anything, they just continue to be exploited. This is ridiculous. But I understand, because she is in a predicament, because if these are just seasonal workers.
Nobody wants your parent coming in there.
No. And the other thing is that since they only tell them the day before when they're going to work, they could say, we don't need you today. Actually,
right, and
we don't need you next weekend either.
Right. They could just freeze her out. Maybe she's getting frozen out. I don't know.
Well, she could find another job.
You know how long it was hard for her to get her to take this job, Joe? Jesus Christ. Yeah. The kid does not want to work.
Yeah. There's other things that she could do, though. Supermarkets are open all year.
Well, she had a phobia of cashiering, but I think she's over. I mean, she's doing some cashier stuff now.
Oh.
Yeah, she had a phobia of that.
It made her anxious?
What? She's not confident in her math skills. I mean, she's always been fine, but...
Hmm. Neither am I. That's why I don't sell merch, to tell you the truth. I am horrible with math.
I'm terrible at math.
When I was a kid, my father, who was an accountant, used to go over my milk money when I was a kid, and would just look at me because I wasn't getting it. It's like, well, you didn't get that, Gene. I'm like, yeah. And that's one of the reasons I don't understand why you don't sell milk, because I'm bad with math. I really am. I'm horrible.
I had a career for 28 years that had to do all with math. I was an English major. And I had my two pals, adding machine, computer.
Yeah, they give you stuff.
And and that's the only way that I made it through. I faked it until I made it. And I'm not good at math, but I did it. Still doing it.
It's her first job. I think what they're doing, and I guess a lot of these orchards do it, it's very predatory.
It is.
I'm not a fan of it.
I'm mad.
I was mad too.
I'm mad.
Like, how do you? All right, supposed to be 9 to 5, and she's getting home at 6:30.
They're totally taking advantage of these kids. No, it's not necessarily. I mean, I would have to look at the labor standards, but I mean, it's not necessarily even that they're keeping them overtime because it's not a 40-hour week. It's only on the weekends.
But how's she going to get home?
Right, and it gets dark earlier and earlier. But the thing that really perturbs me is that they don't get any breaks.
No, it's ridiculous.
Breaks. They don't cover.
No, I mean, these kids should be getting at least a half an hour lunch.
Yes,
I mean, and like. 15 minutes, what, every hour, every 2 hours, something like that?
I don't know if it's every 2 hours, but I mean, they should be able to go and go to the bathroom without getting yelled at.
I guess they can go to the bathroom without getting yelled at, but I mean, they should have a designated lunch period.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, every job has a designated lunch period.
You know, how many hours would they, if they were left to their own devices, how many hours would they let them work without a break?
And the funny thing is there a manager there? I mean, the manager should have a schedule
Well, that's why I said they have a supervisor. Everybody's there. They have a supervisor. I'm sure that supervisor is somebody too. Yeah, you're in charge of children.
Yeah.
There's no way you would do this to an American citizen adult.
No.
There's no way.
Nope, because they would stand up for themselves.
Right. And this is why I can't work for people. I can't.
It's a rough hoe to row. It really is. I didn't mean that kind of hoe.
I'll row you home.
But it is tough. And there's a lot of people that feel like, marginalized, and that they're afraid to speak up for themselves because they're afraid they'll be out of the job.
Well, that's why we have unions.
Yeah.
Whether you like them or hate them. Yeah, that's what.
You know what? There is a bad side to unions. There is a bad side because, there are some people that will take advantage of every little teeny bit, and they will be like the go slow worker, and they would take every loophole, and they're going to take advantage. That's in people's nature. There are going to be some people that do that. But workers need protection because back in the bad old days when they didn't have those protections, those people, there was child labor.
Well, they still do it.
They still do that. And,
We talked about one of those stories a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
In some of these states where they want, like, 14-year-olds in bars, for instance.
Yeah, no.
Well, that was a girthy opening segment. We haven't had one like that in a while.
Girthy.
Let's take out.
Veiny and girthy.
Yes. We'll come back. We'll do some comics in the news to start us off. Hasan Minhaj. Well, I liked him on The Daily Show. We'll see if I like him on this story. All right. But on the break, we have John Carr and Georgina White with You Don't Own Me. And we have Pelican Rocket with Faces. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.